go home and retire. And
what was the diagnosis?
It was, I think it was a terminal diagnosis.
He would be dead by June.
Okay, that wasn't public, but yeah, okay.
That wasn't even public.
This video is brought to you by Incogni. All right, everybody, I want to show you this clip until the end because I think we have it. I think we officially have found the most sociopathic moment in Donald Trump's entire life, and it just happened moments ago while he was speaking to the Kennedy Center board. He is, of course, trying to rename the Kennedy Center to the Trump Kennedy Center that is already narcissistic as it is, but in this clip, Donald Trump begins to ramble about how Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who was sitting to the right of him, only has a few seat majority in Congress. He only has one or two seats as a majority, and it depends on if Thomas Massie is voting with him or against him on that very day. Donald Trump then goes into detail about how one Republican congressman almost died due to terminal cancer, but was saved by the healthcare of the White House, the healthcare that Trump gets, that no other American gets, other than, I guess, a Congress member who is the final deciding vote. Trump, in this moment, shares way too much about this congressman's personal life, about this congressman's medical life, and there's even a moment where Speaker of the House Mike Johnson goes, "That wasn't public. Like, you weren't supposed to say that. We should stop right now. That wasn't public." That is what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson tries to convey to Donald Trump throughout this clip, and I want to play it for you all with no interruptions. We're going to watch this, we're going to break this down, and then we'll move on to the rest of Donald Trump's incredibly absurd performance where he rants about Iran, he lies about having predicted 9/11. It's just an insane performance. Make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed to help us get to 2 million subscribers. It would be a record for a Gen Z-built independent media company with no backing other than you all. I love each and every single one of you. And let's just jump in to this clip of Donald Trump surrounded by Susie Wiles to his left and Mike Johnson to his right, and he begins talking about the thin majority that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has. This clip is incredibly absurd, and the way that it ends is even more absurd.
And the Speaker of the House got the easiest job of anybody in government. He's got a majority of two. I don't like to say one because it varies, but between one, two, and three. And I think you're the only man that's ever lived that's able to be very happy about it. In fact, when we get up to three, you know, every once in a while we get up to three. Actually, for a period of time, we had it up to four, and then we had a death. And death is very bad when you're the Speaker and you have a majority of two or three.
He's referring to Representative Doug LaMalfa, who died in January, the same day that Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned. So it has been a rough few months for the Republican majority in Congress, if you even want to call it that.
But we had a death, and then we had another death, and we had some things, and it's, but we're looking very strong. We had one man who was very ill. It looked like he wasn't going to make it. I don't know. I won't mention his name. Should I? Do other people know his name? Do you want to mention it? He'll be proud. Go ahead. Tell him this, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. President. Congressman Neil Dunn of Florida had some real health challenges, and it was very serious, and had a pretty grim diagnosis. And I mentioned it to the president, and I said, Congressman Dunn is a real champion and a patriot because he's still coming to work. And if others got this diagnosis, they would be apt to go home and retire.
What was the diagnosis?
It was, I think it was a terminal diagnosis.
He would be dead by June.
Okay, that wasn't public, but yeah, okay. It was grim. That's what I was going to say. I don't think
with a heart problem, by the way. This was a heart problem.
Right. So, the long story short, the president called him to encourage him and thank him.
Okay, 1 second. I want to rewind and show you that back tap one more time because that was an aggressive tap on the back of Mike Johnson. Also, you're not supposed to just reveal people's personal health issues like this. As the president of the United States, I mean, I can't believe I have to say this, you have to have some sort of filter and be able to stop yourself from exposing people's terminal illness that they probably kept within their family for a reason, dude.
Problem, by the way. This was a heart problem.
Right. So the long story short, the president called him to encourage him and thank him, and they had a conversation, and the president mentioned in the course of the conversation, you know how to get my doctors involved. And they did, and within a number of hours, they took him to Walter Reed Emergency Surgery. The man has a new lease on life. He acts like he's 30 years younger, and he walked into the conference meeting, and we thought we'd seen a ghost. And I spoke with him over the weekend, and he's encouraged and thankful, and he thanks the president for his leadership and intervention. And thank you.
He actually amazing. Called Mike. Mike called me and he said, sir, we're up by three, but we're going to lose one by June. I said, who? Neil Dunn. He's a congressman, a great congressman. Incredible. He called to say that he was terminal, really bad heart. There's nothing they can do. I said, that's bad. Number one, it was bad because I liked him. Number two, it was bad because I needed his vote. But he really said, he said, Mike, I'm going to last this out for the president and you. And however long I live, I mean, it looks like June is the time, but however long I live, I'm going to be voting for you. I mean, how many people are going to say that? Most of them are going to say, Mike, I'm retiring immediately. That's the end.
He's an extraordinary
man.
But
he didn't do that. It was really impressive. And then I realized I have doctors in the White House. The White House doctors are incredible. And they've helped me with other people. They're helping me with people right now. People that are very sick are like they're miracle workers. And I said, I have to call them. And I called the two doctors. They're both great. And they immediately went over to see the congressman. And he was on the operating table like 2 hours later.
Yeah.
And it was a long operation. They gave him more stents and more everything that you could have. I think he's got everything that you could possibly have. And they called up. They said, sir, I think he'll be fine. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, I think he'll be fine. And Mike was telling me the story that the other day he came into a meeting for the first time in a long while. Go ahead.
Well, it was incredible. I mean, just he has a new lease on life. He has more energy than a man half his age and very encouraged and encouraged all of us. So, again, a testament to great leadership. And he's my hat's off to Neil Dunn and his beautiful wife and family. He's an extraordinary individual.
And just, you know, because I don't want to have a terrible story about this, I did it for him first. And for the vote second, but it was a close second, actually. But I did it for the vote second.
I think it was important I played that until the very end, because throughout that entire story, Trump is showing a level of apathy. And you're just waiting for him to say something even more apathetic. He's obviously pushing Mike Johnson to an uncomfortable degree to say things that are private. They made them public. Then at the very end, Trump says, I did this not for the vote, but for him. But the vote was a close second. He's lying. That was the lie. He did it for the vote. He obviously very clearly did it for the votes. I mean, listen, he's gotten over a dozen U.S. service members killed over the past 2 weeks. So he doesn't care about the sanctity of life. He cares about the political power that he has. And I'll continue to prove that in the clips that I play now. So I want to take it back a little bit, because when Donald Trump first sat down, he spewed lies about Iran and even snapped at a few reporters who asked him very valid questions. Here's Trump claiming that Iran has been obliterated, which is not true.
Our powerful military campaign to end the threats posed by the Iranian regime continued in full force over the past few days. They have been literally obliterated. The Air Force is gone. The Navy is gone. Many, many ships have been sunk. They're war-fighting ships, but I guess they didn't know how to use them.
So the question is, if Iran's military capabilities have been obliterated, as they said 8 months ago, which wasn't true, then how come the Strait of Hormuz is not just open? If Iran has zero means to hurt ships, blow up ships, attack ships in the Strait of Hormuz, then why is it still closed? Well, Trump gets asked if he's spoken with French President Emmanuel Macron about the Strait of Hormuz. This is his response.
You stay out of wars. Yeah, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Can you tell us if you have spoken with French President Macron about the coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz? Have you been speaking with the French president?
What does that mean?
Have you been speaking with the French President Macron about the coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, I have spoken to him. He's been on a scale of 0 to 10. I'd say he's been an 8. Not perfect, but it's France.
Are you confident?
We don't expect perfect.
Are you confident that France will help with the reopening of Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think he's gonna help. I mean, I'll let you know.
The reality is, Donald Trump has been requesting assistance from a list of countries for the past few days. Almost every single country has rejected him. The countries that haven't rejected have been silent. They haven't actually said anything. It's because Donald Trump has spent the past year and a half bullying these countries, being an asshole towards these countries. He even said last week, we don't need you, United Kingdom. You already came too late. And now he's wondering why no countries want to be a part of his sick games. This is exactly why. Funny enough, just moments ago, Fox News' Peter Doocy asked the question that I just posed to you all. Take a listen.
Something else. Now that you've announced that the U.S. has destroyed all of Iran's mine-laying ships, why can't the U.S. just immediately reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, we could, but it takes two to tango. We have to get people to take their billion-dollar ship and you know, drive it up. If when Pepe has his big sugar ships coming around and they cost $1 billion, and we say, I think it's okay now, Pepe, take your ship, drive it through the Strait of Hormuz, he may say, let me wait a little while.
Okay, wait. So he's basically conceding that they're bullshitting. He says in one breath, Iranians' entire military has been destroyed. There is no capacity they have to hurt enemies. Then he says, you know, some of our allies are very scared to drive their ships through the Strait of Hormuz because they're likely to get attacked. Both of these things can't simultaneously be true, and Peter Doocy is actually correct to call that out. Even though he's from Fox News, it was a nice observation.
Because it takes...
Oh my God, look at Susie Wiles seems to even be like cringing at this. Look at Susie Wiles on the right. I'm going to zoom in on her. I want you to notice her closing her eyes.
When Pepe has his big sugar ships coming around and they cost $1 billion, and we say, I think it's okay now, Pepe, take your ship, drive it through the Strait of Hormuz, he may say, let me wait a little while. Because ship owners and these ships are very expensive.
Susie Wiles, his own chief of staff, looks embarrassed to be sitting there. Okay, let's go on to this next one where Donald Trump says he predicted Osama bin Laden would knock out the World Trade Center.
I knew about the strait, that it would be a weapon, which I predicted a long time ago. I predicted all of this stuff. You guys were very generous in that. I predicted all of it. I predicted Osama bin Laden would knock out the World Trade Center. I made that prediction a year before he did it. I said, you better get him. He's a bad guy. I watched him be interviewed one time, and I said, that's a bad guy. You better get him. 1 year before, exactly, I wrote it in a book. You can even check about a year before the World Trade Center came down. President Clinton actually had a shot at him, and he didn't take it, unfortunately. I'm not blaming him for that, but he didn't take it. He ended up knocking down the World Trade Center, but I predicted that too. I predicted a lot of things. We strongly encouraged, like I knew.
Are we serious here? The President of the United States is going on schizophrenic ramblings while we're at war. The 25th Amendment needs to be invoked now. And really quickly, as we are entering this new era of AI on the internet, we see scammers, phishing emails, and people trying to gather your data evolving their techniques. That is why we have to evolve ours as well. I highly recommend Incogni to protect your personal information on the internet. I am so sick of getting calls that spoof my area code, but then are just trying to trick me. I'm so sick of getting emails that are trying to act like they're from Facebook, but they are phishing for information from me. That's where Incogni comes in. Incogni is a service that helps remove your personal information from the internet by contacting data brokers and the people search sites on your behalf to demand that they delete it. No more emails, no more calls. It's a process that would normally take a lot of time for me to reach out and tell them to stop, to remove my data, but Incogni does it for you. One feature I really like is their custom removals feature on the Unlimited and Family Unlimited plans. It allows you to be surgical with what you want to remove, and when I set up Incogni as a whole, I gave them permission to work on my behalf, to go out there for me, and to be aggressive on the market. Because of that, I have taken my personal data back. If you want to take your personal data back as well, check out incogni.com/mockler. Use code Mockler for 60% off. One more time, go to incogni.com/mockler and use code Mockler for 60% off your annual plan. Thank you to Incogni and thank you to you all.